guys, and welcome to the Moms and Mysteries podcast, a true crime podcast featuring myself, Mandy, and my dear friend, Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very well.
Yeah. Mandy, I don't know how to tell you this, but I will see you tomorrow for a thing that we still don't know if we can share, but we're going to Texas
eventually.
Tomorrow.
Yes, yeehaw. We are. Yeehaw is right. I'm super excited. We haven't taken a trip together in a while, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, CrimeCon was here in Orlando last time, so we didn't really go anywhere. But this will be our first time traveling together in a long time. So yeah, I'm excited.
I know, me too. I'm going to bring your Christmas gift. That reminds me.
Me too.
We're at about 3 months, a quarter of the year. We're in Q2 almost, and yes, neither of us have given each other Christmas gifts. We're doing well.
That's about to change.
Yeah, there you go. We can't say that after tomorrow. Mandy, exciting news. We filmed something a few months ago, and Mandy, we knew yours was coming out today. We did two. This is the first time we've done it separately.
Yes.
And we knew yours was coming out today, but while looking for the title of yours, we saw that mine also already came out, so we don't know when. But if you have Tubi, which I don't think you need to have Tubi, I think you just
go to Tubi.
Go to Tubi. Tubi's like a state of mind more than anything. Right. What is your episode called, Mandy?
First, we should probably say the name of the show. Did we say the name of the show?
Oh, no, we didn't. Okay.
Okay. No. So the name of the show is Love You to Death. And as Melissa said, you can get that on tubitv.com. I think you don't need even to sign up. So the episode that I'm in is called Playbook for Murder. It was about a case that's kind of local-ish to me and Melissa. So it was really interesting to talk about that case for this TV show. So if you want to check that out, you can go do that. And Melissa, your episode, which is the one I'm far more interested in, and I haven't watched either one of them yet.
Vice versa. I will watch yours and then you can watch mine and then we can like pump each other up about how we did.
Yes.
Because I don't want to do this.
Hype each other up for sure.
There you go. So the one I'm on, Love You to Death, same show, it's called For Love or Money. And this is the story of the murder of William Walker. He was a fire chief. His wife, Uloma Curry Walker, was found guilty of murdering him. And it's actually a story we covered very early. Early on
very
in this
early.
Show. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing what you remember, honestly.
Yes.
If you were doing that one, you would have remembered so much more than you even realized. I had no idea until I got there. Like, there's a lot here.
Yeah, I don't remember that story in full detail, but I feel like there are parts of it that definitely stand out in my memory. So I feel like once I watch your episode, it will bring it all back for me.
There you go. We'll debrief. So anyway, if you have time this week, this weekend, and want to check it out, you can do that. We'll have the link to it in our show notes as well.
Awesome. The story that we're covering this week is the kind of story that you don't really hear a lot, but it's one of the ones that really just sends a chill down my spine. And Melissa, I know you already know the reason for that.
Oh, yeah.
But this week we're talking about a case of patricide, or the killing of one's own parents, which is thankfully something we don't hear about too often. I think we've done another case that kind of reminded me of this one a little bit, also back in the very early days of the podcast.
Right.
So this week we're talking about the North Carolina couple named Carrie and Stephen Turner. In 2015, this couple was just at the stage of life where they were really starting to consider retirement. At that point, they had raised a daughter and a son while working hard towards their version of the American dream. Both Steve and Carrie had grown up in North Carolina themselves, and they were known as being very generous and helpful people who were always involved in their kids' lives. Despite this active involvement, Carrie and Steven's son, Alex, began struggling in high school when he unfortunately got involved in doing some of the wrong things. He started having drug dependency problems, and he began a string of misbehaviors. As these behaviors escalated, Alex found himself stealing to pay for his drug use. In 2009, he pleaded guilty to breaking and entering, and at that point, he was just 18 years old. He spent 45 days in jail, then 12 months of probation. But later that year, he was caught driving with a revoked license. In October of 2014, Alex was once again charged with breaking and entering, as well as larceny and obtaining property by false pretenses in Roxboro, North Carolina, and he was scheduled to appear in court for that on March 9th, 2015. Despite all of these struggles with their son, Carrie and Stephen really loved and supported Alex, and they truly did their best to help him through this time in his life, including paying to put him through rehab. Stephen Turner worked as the head of the IT department at Durham Regional Medical Center, and for 4 years, the Turner couple owned a mart called Mayo Merino Mart in Roxboro. And one of the employees there said that they really just thought the world of the Turners and had absolutely nothing bad to say about them. Another friend even said that Steve was the smartest person that he knew. And in the summer of 2014, when the couple sold this mart, Carrie took one of the employees and his wife out for dinner and gave them a check for $1,000 as a farewell gift. And so this employee was just saying, you know, it just that's just the type of people that they were.
Shortly after selling the mart in September of 2014, the couple went on a cruise. While they were gone, though, their home tragically burned down. According to the fire report, the main part of the house was fully involved in heavy fire, with flames spreading to the second story over the garages. By the time firefighters arrived, the home was consumed in flames. The fire was actually too intense for firefighters to go inside, and to make things worse, they couldn't shut off the gas line because part of the home had collapsed on it, which sounds like the absolute worst case scenario. And of course, this makes it much more difficult for them to extinguish the fire. They worked at it for about 45 minutes before the fire was under control, but it took 3 hours to be fully extinguished because of this gas leak.
Melissa, I guess I don't know how long it takes normally to extinguish a fire, but 3 hours seems like a really long time.
I know. And 45 minutes just to get it under control. So it's still like a level raging 11 emergency for almost an hour. Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure either. The property loss was estimated at $225,000, and another $50,000 of contents inside the home were reported at losses. Although the cause of the fire was never able to be determined, detectives did suspect it was arson. Interestingly, the only person of interest in the supposed arson was Alex. Again, that's the Turner son. After the fire, Carrie and Stephen took up a temporary living situation in a vacation home on Mayo Lake. As we mentioned before, at this point, they're thinking about retirement, and they really wanted to retire in the area of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They started taking these trips down there to kind of check out retirement homes, see what life would really be like in this area. And at this time, Carrie's brother Thomas, who had a developmental disability that required someone to help care for him, he was actually living with the couple after his and Carrie's parents had passed away.
Sometimes when the Turners would take these trips down to South Carolina, their son Alex would tag along. And on one of these trips, he met a girl there named Chelsea. Alex told Chelsea about his parents and said that he had a sister and told her that they were from Durham, but he told her that he was in Myrtle Beach for work, although he didn't mention what type of work he did. Of course, this isn't true. He's just there with his parents who are checking out retirement property. Chelsea was drawn to Alex right away, though. She said that he had the most beautiful aquamarine eyes and he was smart and kind. And she said that when she looked at Alex, she saw adventure. Chelsea wasn't sure if she would ever even see Alex again after that first night. They didn't really even exchange any way to contact each other. They didn't give each other their phone numbers. But Alex came back a few more times, and I guess by some turn of fate, they met up again, and finally, eventually, he did ask for her phone number. I don't know how big that area is. Myrtle Beach? I've never been there. It sounds like it must be a very small area.
I accidentally got a hotel in Myrtle Beach. You know those timeshare like hotel things?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when I did that? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was definitely Myrtle Beach. So it seemed like there was a lot going on because otherwise, why would I have agreed to pay for this trip I never went on? But I know it's a popular place, but I'm not really sure how big it is either.
So Alex and Chelsea started to hang out a lot more and they got closer and closer. One evening in mid-February, they were hanging out on Chelsea's couch when Alex suddenly asked Chelsea if he could trust her. So she's like, yes, of course you can trust me. You can tell me anything. And then this is when he tells her all about his job. Alex said that after high school, he enlisted in the Army and ended up being selected by the Special Forces, which led him to taking a job as a hitman for the Department of Defense.
Wow.
Right. Alex is 23 at this time, so it would be pretty impressive if it were true. But also, I don't think you're allowed to tell people that you're a hitman for the
government. I feel like first rule of hitman, yeah, of hitman for the government is not telling people you're right. a hitman for the government.
Yeah. So Alex claimed that he was in Myrtle Beach because he had a work assignment there that involved a case of domestic terrorism. But he told Chelsea that he was really struggling to complete this mission because of the PTSD he was left with after he served overseas. He told her that he didn't want to work for the Department of Defense anymore because he didn't want to kill people. He just wanted to go and live a normal life. He told Chelsea that if he just completed this last job, then the Department of Defense would discharge him. So Chelsea, who was just 19 years old, fully bought into this story, and she told Alex that she would do anything she could to help him. She offered to let Alex move in with her and said that she would even talk to her manager about getting him a job. Alex accepted her help, but he did tell her that this relationship could potentially put her in danger, and not just her, but he would be putting his own family in danger as well. Little did Chelsea know, the Turners really were in danger, but it had nothing to do with the Department of Defense. And we're going to get into the rest of this story after a quick break to hear a word from this week's sponsors.
There are two types of people in this world, couch people and bed people. I am a total bed person. I edit from my bed, send emails, watch Love is Blind. I'm basically the fifth grandparent from the Willy Wonka movie. But what keeps me in my bed is comfort, and it's recently been elevated to a whole new level thanks to Bull & Branch.
There are tons of sheets on the market, but how many of them can actually say they get softer every time you wash them? In a recent customer survey, 96% said that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. And that's because Boll & Branch are made from the rarest 100% organic cotton, and their signature weave feels buttery and breathable right from the jump.
From the moment I opened the package, I knew Boll & Branch did as well. I got this signature hemmed sheet set in stone, and I really love it. It's such a pretty color. It's this dark gray, and not only is it like beautiful to look at, but it is so, so soft to the touch. I immediately rubbed it against my face like those bears in that toilet paper commercial. And I can confirm with the 96% of people that Mandy mentioned that they do in fact get softer and softer, making laundry day a whole lot more satisfying. Boll & Branch offers a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so not only can you sleep on the sheets for a month, but you can wash them to feel that softness grow just like we have. And if somehow you're in that 4% that don't feel it, you can send them right back.
Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code MOMS at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code MOMS. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Shopping can be therapeutic for me. That is until I look at my receipt and realize just how much I've spent for said therapy. Whether you're shopping as a form of self-care or grabbing those cool new kicks for your kid, shopping is never far from your mind. Now imagine if you could earn cash back on all that stuff you're already buying. Well, enter Rakuten, making shopping a bit more rewarding.
Rakuten is like the ultimate shopping buddy because it hooks you up with cash back on things you already buy. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, cool, but does that even apply to me? And then I checked out the list of stores that they actually work with and found places like Walmart, Fenty Beauty, Adidas, and Nike. And that's really just scratching the surface. In fact, the list of stores is longer than a CVS receipt, and it includes tons of categories like fashion, beauty, and even groceries. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop. And with cashback rates changing daily, you could really be saving some serious money on things you're already buying.
And Rakuten really makes it easy to use. You can literally go to their website or download their app on your phone, no fees, and boom, you're ready to score cash back at over 3,500 stores in every category. I recently cashed in, and that sweet cash back comes through every quarter. And this isn't girl math, this is actual cash back you can get started on earning today. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up.
And now back to the episode. So before the break, we were discussing Alex Turner and his parents, and Alex has now met somebody named Chelsea, and the two of them are dating, and he's now told Chelsea about this job he has working for the Department of Defense as a hitman. And I mean, spoiler alert, the guy doesn't work there, but Chelsea doesn't know that, right? And the whole thing is she believes that as we go through the story, she really believes him. On March 4th, Alex and Chelsea found themselves in hot water when they were approached by an officer while sitting in a car next to a gas station in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. The couple appeared to be lost, and they looked like they were pointing around and discussing their direction of travel. But when the officer approached the car, he could smell marijuana, which led to the couple being asked to exit the vehicle. Things really only got worse from there. After the couple got out of the car, the officer noticed that there was an AR-15 on the floor in the back seat and a 9mm handgun near the radio, just out all willy-nilly in plain view. So upon seeing these weapons, both Chelsea and Alex were placed in handcuffs while officers looked into them. It was soon learned that Chelsea's license was suspended. The car was properly searched and they found marijuana and drug paraphernalia. The couple were both arrested and Chelsea was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and simple possession of marijuana. Alex was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and unlawful carrying of a pistol. Both Chelsea and Alex were released on bond later that same day. When Alex's parents found out that their son had been arrested, they, along with Carrie's brother Thomas, traveled the 3.5 hours to Myrtle Beach to go check on things. When they arrived, they checked into a hotel room at the Landmark Resort with a checkout day of March 6th. When March 6th rolled around, a housekeeper at the hotel went in to clean the room that the Turner parents were staying in. It was after the hotel's checkout time, so the housekeeper was going in to prepare the room for the next guest. But when they went inside, they were surprised to see that the Turner's belongings were all still in the room. The housekeeper notified her manager that it just looked like the Turners hadn't checked out of the room yet, and they were told to just start cleaning the room around their belongings. At this point, they're thinking, you know, the Turners missed their checkout time and they'll be back shortly just to get their stuff and they can finish cleaning this room. So the housekeeper goes back to the room and gets to work. But when she removes the comforter from one of the beds, she sees that the sheets have been stripped from the bed and instead there were massive bloodstains on the mattress near the head of the bed. Management was notified and the police were called to come investigate what was going on.
When officers got to the hotel, they looked around the room and determined that it was possible that one of the Turners had just injured themselves on the bed and then they had left to go to a hospital to get treatment. The officers asked that the hotel just secure the room until the guests returned, which they really hoped would be soon. But Carrie and Steven never came back to the hotel. Hours later, the police came back and searched the room again. And this time, they noticed a shell casing on the floor and gunshot holes in the bloody mattress. Officers then decided to lift the mattress and look under it. And what they found was enough to send chills down anyone's spine. The lifeless bodies of 52-year-old Carrie and 61-year-old Steven were found underneath this mattress. Homicide investigators were called to the scene where they combed the hotel room from top to bottom. It was noted that Carrie's purse and wallet were missing, and so was the credit card that was used to book this hotel room. They started monitoring the credit card to see if whoever killed the couple stole the card and would be dumb enough to use it. Meanwhile, officers found out that the Turners listed a 2015 silver Kia Optima as the vehicle they were parking at the hotel. So the parking lot was searched for their car, but the Kia was nowhere to be found. So officers put a bolo out on the car. At some point during all of this, the investigators learned that there was a third person staying in the room, and that was Carrie's brother Thomas, who, as we said, was dependent on Carrie because he was unable to take care of himself. So when the officers found out that Thomas was there in Myrtle Beach and was in the hotel room with them, they, of course, were worried that he was also hurt.
When I first started reading about this, my stomach dropped when I realized that he, you know, had been there.
Yeah.
So when speaking to hotel staff, a few more details and clues emerged. According to the housekeeper, they actually tried to clean the Turner's room shortly after 10 a.m. on the 6th, but when she knocked on the door, someone inside the room said, "We aren't ready," so the housekeeper went away for a few hours. When she returned, that's when she found the bloody mattress. This information was interesting because they had already determined that the Turners were dead hours before 10 a.m., so they absolutely could not have been the ones who were telling the housekeeper to go away. So figuring out who was in the room at that time was a top priority. Next, they spoke with a front desk clerk who told them that a young man and a young woman came to the desk at 9:17 a.m. and asked if they could extend room 1208, which was the room the Turners were staying in. The couple didn't give their names but said they weren't on the registration, so the clerk told them that, you know, she wasn't able to extend the room unless one of the registered occupants requested it. So the couple leaves and they never come back. Surveillance footage showed this young couple get into a 2015 Kia and drive away, but they really weren't sure who this man or woman were. About 4 hours after the bodies of Carrie and Stephen were found, Carrie's credit card was used at a Walmart in Surfside Beach. When officers went there to look at the surveillance footage, they saw that it was the same couple they'd seen on this hotel footage. The couple went into Walmart and this purchase blows my mind. They bought a huge flat screen TV with the credit card. Wow. I was thinking things to cover up, bags, bleach, something.
Right.
A flat screen TV was literally right. The last thing that would have come to mind.
Yeah, for sure. So at this point, police still don't know who they are and they needed to figure out, you know, who this couple is. And they started looking into Stephen Carey's past and they found out about the fire that destroyed their home just 6 months earlier. To get some more insight, they contacted the police department that handled the fire and found out that they had determined that the fire was arson and also that the Turner's son, Alex, was the only suspect they had. Once they had a name, Myrtle Beach police started digging into Alex and found out that he was extremely financially dependent on his parents due to his criminal history and drug abuse. His relationship with his parents had become more and more strained as the years had gone on, and Alex's run-ins with police only continued. Investigators started to think the young man in the surveillance footage was Alex. During this process, they also found out about Alex's arrest in Surfside Beach just 2 days before his parents were killed, and when they learned that he was arrested alongside Chelsea Griffin, that's when they assumed that that's who the young woman was that was seen in the surveillance footage with him. Hotel employees looked at photos of Alex and Chelsea, and they confirmed that it was them who had come to the front to ask about an extension on the hotel room. When investigators looked into Chelsea, they found out that she didn't have a criminal history, which isn't that surprising because she's only 19.
Yeah.
So they went to Chelsea's apartment hoping that they would find the couple there, but of course they weren't there. So detectives continued to look for them and look for the stolen Kia. On March 8th, the Kia was spotted at an apartment complex near Chelsea's apartment complex in Conway. The police decided that they were just going to leave the car there and run surveillance on it to see who comes back to it. And they ended up seeing Chelsea and Alex go to this apartment complex where the car was parked, and they went inside of an apartment that was determined to belong to two CCU students. The SWAT team was then called to the scene, and the couple was soon apprehended without incident. And thankfully, they also yes. found Thomas there completely unharmed. And we have more to get into after one last break to hear a word from this week's sponsors.
Honeylove has sponsored our show for 2 years now. And in that time, I can't tell you how many people have emailed or DM'd us to tell us how much they love their Honeylove products. Whether you're looking for shapewear or the most comfortable bra in the history of forever, Honeylove is your one-stop shop for comfort that actually looks cute too.
Shapewear doesn't have to be something you dread. With Honeylove, you can expect to be sculpted in all the right places. And thanks to their flexible boning, you don't have to worry about it rolling down, which other companies can't say.
As someone who competes with Hank Hill over gluteus maximus deficiency, and if you know, you know, I can assure you that the Honeylove Superpower Short helps me out. It actually has a booty lifter thanks to the boost bands on the back of the thigh that gives your back end an amazing shape. Or if you're me, just any shape would be nice. Plus, putting on Honeylove and taking it off is so easy. And you know that's true because I use the words taking it off instead of peeling it off.
Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/moms20. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. honeylove.com/moms20. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Move with confidence thanks to Honeylove.
Here's a story I probably shouldn't share with thousands of people. When I was about 13 years old, I went to visit my cousins and my aunt and uncle. After hugging my aunt, she said, "Does anyone smell that?" And immediately I knew. I had forgotten deodorant. And here we are 27 years later, and I relive this moment from time to time, including on this podcast. Unfortunately, I didn't have Lumi then, but I have it now. And Lumi Whole Body Deodorant makes it so none of us need to worry about BO again.
Lumi goes beyond just pits. They also have 72-hour odor control from your pits to your feet, and yes, even those personal areas in between. And what's really great about Lumi is they have options other than a tube. You can get mini body wash or deodorant wipes, as well as a solid stick deodorant or a cream tube. It's designed to work for you.
While I'm still recovering from 27 years ago, I don't have to worry about that anymore thanks to Lumi. Lumi is powered by mandelic acid, so it controls odor in a new way, while also being pH balanced so you can use it everywhere, everywhere. My favorite product is the Lavender Sage Scent Deodorant Wipes. I love socks, but if I'm wearing shoes without them, I'll just wipe my feet down with wipes prior to wearing the shoes, and it really does make the biggest difference. And Lumi has other great scents like toasted coconut and lavender sage to choose from.
Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code MOMS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code MOMS.
It's sunny and beautiful outside, which means I want to be out there. And while I can't just leave the house to vacay at a moment's notice, I sure can pretend. Welcome to the fabulous universe of June Parker's escapades in June's journey. Forget about packing your bags. We're taking you on a roller coaster without a passport. Say goodbye to the mundane and get ready to dive into a whirlwind of drama and elegance with our leading lady, June Parker.
Whether you're itching for a juicy mystery or just desperate for a break from the daily grind, June's journey is your ticket to excitement. Follow June as she unravels family secrets and tiptoes through the tangled mess of her sister's demise. It's like crashing a fancy party, minus the small talk about the weather. Although, we secretly love that too.
So dust off your virtual flapper dress and buckle up for a wild ride where every corner holds a clue and every twist keeps you on the edge of your seat. But hold on to your pearls. June's journey isn't your average mobile game. I'm knee-deep in the fifth chapter, and trust me, it's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. With stunning scenery and catchy tunes, this game oozes sophistication and class. Don't waste another second. Jump into June's world and let the adventure begin.
Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
And now back to the episode. So before the break, we were discussing the police in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, finding the bodies of Carrie and Stephen Turner. And now they are looking for the two people they believe were in the room with them at the time of their murder. They are able to find Alex and Chelsea going into an apartment, and they were also able to find Carrie's brother Thomas there as well, and he was unharmed, thank goodness. So Alex and Chelsea are taken to the station for questioning, and Alex immediately tells the detectives that he's unemployed, which, you know, probably makes sense. I doubt the police are going to believe this assassin story. Alex said he'd been living in Horry County for about 3 months after recently finishing a drug rehab program there. So after graduating the program, he moved into a halfway house in North Myrtle Beach and then moved in with 19-year-old Chelsea. Throughout this interview, Alex appears to be very confident. He tells the police how his parents had come down to Myrtle Beach to check on him after they found out about his arrest on March 4th. He told them that on the night of the 4th, he and Chelsea went to IHOP with his parents for dinner. He said it was a nice dinner and his parents got to meet Chelsea for the first time. He said his parents spent the entire time trying to convince Alex to go back home with them, which makes sense. He's just gotten out of rehab. Now he's been arrested. Here's this new girlfriend he has. Like, maybe just take a breath and come back home with us, right? The next day, Alex hung out with Carrie and Steve all day and things were going pretty well. And he decided to stay the night in the hotel with them. He said they all hung out that night and watched TV. When it was time for bed, Alex said he put the gun he always carried under his pillow and he went to sleep. So Mandy and I were both kind of surprised that he has a gun considering his rap sheet, and I don't know that it was legal for him to be carrying it, but clearly he had it in the car when he was arrested.
Right.
So he does have this thing around.
Volunteer this information to the police.
Agree.
Like, why would you even throw that into your story? Like, oh, I guess you have to have an explanation for the I don't know. It just doesn't make sense why you would admit that it was your gun right off the bat.
I know. It almost seems like too much information. But I guess really the whole thing was that he is going to try to put this on somebody else, right? So Alex said that he suddenly awakened to the sound of a gun going off. And when he looks over, he says he sees his Uncle Thomas standing over his parents. The rage I felt in this moment learning this, that he says this. So Alex alleged that Thomas had been deteriorating over the last couple of years and that things were obviously bad. Alex said that when he got up and turned the lights on, he saw that his parents were dead. He said he had no idea what to do, so he panicked and left the hotel room with Thomas to go to Chelsea's. When they arrived at Chelsea's, Alex woke her up and told her that they needed help. According to Alex, they all go back to the hotel to see what they could do, but realize they're not going to be able to get the bodies out of the hotel without being noticed. So that's when they decide to hide them under the bed and flee.
Investigators didn't think Alex's story was the entire truth. They did believe that Thomas had been in the hotel during the shooting, but they didn't think it was possible that he was actually the gunman. They weren't even sure that Thomas knew exactly what was going on, which, like you said, it's just so enraging that Alex tried to say that his uncle did this. And because of the fact, like, you're just taking advantage of the fact that he is not able to, like, defend himself in any way against these claims. It's just absolutely absurd. So Alex was arrested on 2 counts of murder and possession of a weapon. At his bond hearing, he told the judge that he had recently finished a rehab program for PTSD and he had evidence that would prove his innocence. But the judge kind of cut him off and basically just didn't want to hear it. When Chelsea was interviewed, she was extremely defensive. Like we said, Alex was very confident. He tells the police this story, you know, with gusto. You know, he's really committed to it. But Chelsea is very standoffish and very defensive. She doesn't want to talk to the police without speaking to an attorney. So after she talked to an attorney, she then tells the police that she and Alex haven't done anything. Since the investigators didn't really know what her true role even was in the murders, she was also arrested on 2 counts of murder, to which she pleaded not guilty. At her bond hearing, she told the judge, quote, "My faith rests solely in my attorney and my innocence."
Feels like a big thing for a 19-year-old to say. Yeah. Like, I just don't think I would have that confidence to say at 19.
Yeah, yeah. So meanwhile, Carrie and Steven's daughter, who we haven't really, you know, said much about, she was planning her parents' funeral and coming to terms with the fact that her brother had been charged with killing them. I can't imagine going through that situation at all. I'm assuming that their daughter was in charge of handling everything, you know, with their final arrangements and everything. And Alex actually wasn't even referenced in his parents' obituary. So it just breaks your heart all around.
Yeah.
But on April 15th, Chelsea actually came clean to her attorney about what really happened on the night of March 5th. She said Alex stayed at the hotel with his parents and she really didn't expect him to come back to her place that night, but he did. He came back and woke her up at around 4 or 5 in the morning and told her that his parents were dead. He said he and his uncle went outside to smoke, and when they got back to the room, that's when they saw Carrie and Steven had been shot to death. Chelsea's attorney advised her that they should go to the police and share the story, so they did. Chelsea told investigators that Alex was worried about being framed for his parents' death, and all of this was happening because Alex's commander got angry with him when Alex said that he didn't want to kill people anymore. So, of course, the police are like, huh? Because, you know, Alex tells them, like, I'm unemployed, and now here's Chelsea saying stuff about, you know, his commander and being angry about not killing people. So to be a fly on the wall, the police have to be like, what is even going on here right now?
Exactly.
So Alex apparently told Chelsea that he went to his parents' hotel room to see them. But when he got there, he saw his commander standing over their bodies. And before Alex could do anything at all, his commander jumped from the 12th floor balcony and hit the ground running. He ran away.
Wow.
Amazing. So Chelsea said that she was worried for Alex's safety after she hears this whole story. And so she agreed to do whatever had to be done to help protect him and to help get through this.
And he's already warned her about this, right? That like his parents could be in danger and all this stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he takes her back to the hotel room. And when they get there, she sees Alex's parents lying on the bed. Alex then suggested moving them under the box spring, and Chelsea obliged and helped him because she was too scared to say no. When they were done moving the bodies, they packed up Thomas's things and left the hotel out the back entrance. At this point in the story, Chelsea still completely believes that Alex worked for the Department of Defense.
Oh my gosh.
But the officers inform her that he, in fact, is just an unemployed liar who had manipulated her into helping cover up the murder of his own parents. Chelsea, of course, has a very hard time accepting this information, yeah, as anyone would. She, like, got very emotional. She lashed out at the officers. She was saying, like, that's not true. You don't know him. You know, he would never do something like that. And, you know, they calmly told her that she was really the one who didn't know him. And they showed proof, you know, his long rap sheet that they had evidence that he had been in trouble before.
I mean, honestly, when you really think of it from her point of view, you can see how this could have happened, yeah, really, that somebody, yeah, could manipulate you and convince you of this. He set the stage for this already.
For sure,
to,
yeah,
happen.
This wasn't like I met you on day one and I told you all that. This was like developed over time, you know, right, this backstory. So she was very invested in this and had even gone out to dinner and met his parents. You know, there was just a lot going on. It's very, very sad. So it took a while for her to fully process everything that she was finding out. Like, that's a lot to come on to you, yeah, at one time. But when it all finally sank in, she really was overwhelmed with guilt. And she even said that she hated herself every time she thought about what she did. She said, quote, "I didn't pull the trigger, but I was too scared to do the right thing." After speaking with Chelsea, police believed that she really didn't have anything to do with the actual murders, but she did help Alex clean up afterward. Her charges were then downgraded to accessory after the fact, which carried a sentence of up to 15 years in prison. She was later released on a $50,000 bond and ordered to stay with her parents in Roanoke, Virginia. She had a curfew of 11 p.m. and had to submit to random drug and alcohol testing, and she was not allowed to have any contact with Alex or any relatives of the victims.
Detectives were never able to find out exactly why Alex wanted his parents dead, but various media outlets have reported that the double murder was the result of a domestic dispute. It's believed that Alex killed his parents because he didn't want to go back to North Carolina with them. He wanted to stay in Myrtle Beach with Chelsea, where he could do really whatever he wanted. On October 12th, Alex pleaded guilty to 2 counts of murder. He was sentenced to 47 years in prison with no time off for good behavior. After Alex pleaded guilty, the prosecutor released a statement saying that nothing would ever be able to make this horrible event right. On March 23, 2016, Chelsea entered an Alford plea to accessory after the fact to murder. The prosecutors did not give a recommended sentence, but because she was 19 years old when the murders happened, the judge used the Youthful Offender Act as a guide. Chelsea would not serve more than 5 years for her part in the crime, and she ended up being released after 18 months. Since then, she's moved to Virginia and stayed out of trouble for the most part. She said she still feels guilty to this day, even though she knows that Alex would have done what he did anyway. She still blames herself. Alex has tried to contact Chelsea, but she knows to just ignore him and she just wants to move on with her life. And Alex is in prison and will have to stay there until 2062, at which point he will be 71 years old.
Wow, just really, really sad. Like, I don't even know another way of describing it. Like, a 23-year-old, I just can't imagine, like, getting to that point where you decide to kill your own parents. Like, I just cannot. Like, as a mom, you know, 2 boys, like, I just can't imagine, mm-hmm, you know, that's just very hard to, like, put yourself in that position to imagine, like, I don't know.
Right. And they clearly loved him so much and supported him and wanted the best for him and were trying to get him the best, even if that was, you know, come to North Carolina with us. And for whatever reason, that just wasn't going to work for him. I just feel terrible for their daughter. And then, of course, the Uncle Thomas part of this and you know, what he witnessed or, you know, what he was being blamed of, it just blows my mind. And Chelsea is the other, you know, side of this. And being 19 years old, like, if you at 19 years old believe that somebody is an assassin and somebody's coming to kill him maybe and could kill his parents, you can see how somebody at 19 could buy into a lot of this, right?
Yeah.
And so it just makes me, it makes me sad all the way around. She gets involved in something, like she said, she knows he would have done it anyway. But the fact that he had her as an accomplice in this because of that, because he wanted somebody else, I don't know. It's just, man, it's dark. And I'm very glad he is in prison.
It just makes me even more so think, and the older I get, you know, the more I think, like, it's scary. Like, it's a scary time, like, being a young adult, like, just coming out of your youth and, like, out of your teenage years and then to the early 20s. Like, honestly, like, that's, like, a terrifying time. And so much that you do during that time can influence the way the rest of your life goes. But at the same time, like, we're not very smart when we're, like, 19. You know, we don't have the best judgment. We don't always make the best choices.
Your frontal lobe isn't even fully developed. So, right. I mean, you know, you're not working with your whole brain yet, and emotions are big, and you can be the smartest 19-year-old in the world, but literally your brain is not finished.
Yeah. And truly, like, I do think, you know, like she said, she, every time she thinks about it, you know, she can't stand the thought of what she did, not, you know, having this realization. And, like, I fully believe that. That would be so much to live with, you know, once you did realize and accept what, you know, what your role was and what you, you know, what you fell for with this guy. Like, I feel like that truly is, will torment her forever. Yeah, at some level, you know.
I totally agree with you. So yeah, that one was, it's one of those, and especially when you don't know the motive, there's nothing to hang on to there and say, you know, it maybe they got in an argument, but maybe not. We just don't know what happened. Only Alex knows, and obviously he's not saying anything.
Okay, so let's just turn the page and just do a really quick last thing before we go this week. We're still on Love is Blind. It's almost over for those of you who don't like when we do this. I am so sorry.
Some people don't even watch it, and they write and say, I don't watch it, but I love when you guys talk about it. So it is funny, just, you know, can't make everyone happy. Yeah.
So it is almost over. We have gotten our first episode of Weddings this week.
Only episode of Weddings. Yeah. They only had one.
You know, I'm tired of this, okay? Like, don't do 6 seasons of Love is Blind per year if you're only going to have, like, 6 episodes that you release slowly, like, over. I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like the, like, previous seasons had, like, 16 episodes, and you got, like, 3 at a time every week. Right. This has been weird. We've only got, what, 2 last week? We got 1 this week. We're getting 1 next week. Is that the last one?
Reunion. So we get to Nick and Vanessa next.
Anyway, we're not getting as much meat and potatoes as we used to, I feel like, from this show. But I digress. This week, we got to see 2 weddings. Well, Melissa, we just said we only really caught full paid attention to Clay and AD.
To be fair, we are recording a lot earlier than we normally do, so it came out today. So the fact that we got to see any of this is amazing. But before the AD and Clay wedding, what happened at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Chelsea and what's his name?
Jimmy.
Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Crickets. So we come back to them on this date where they rented out the amusement park. I was rolling my eyes so hard. I'm like,
oh, they rented out the whole park?
You are? Well, they were the only ones that were there. I think she said that last time. Like, and he rented this out because he knows I love it. You didn't see how creepy it was with them on a roller coaster? Yeah. I was like, get over yourselves.
Okay. All right.
So they sit down and they're having this dinner talking about, will you pick me in the end, or, you know, are you going to walk down the aisle and all that? And Mandy, what happened? Finally.
Oh my gosh. Well, finally the relationship, like, imploded, and, like, they, well, I guess he voiced some of his grievances. She didn't really get it at first. She was just like, well, we can work through this, or, you know, I don't know. She, I find that Chelsea, like, she has a tendency to, like, minimize some of the issues, you know, and is like, this is just a speed
marriage
bump.
Marriage is hard.
Right. And he's like, actually, there are some glaring red flags here. So they thankfully did not go to the altar. They didn't even waste anyone's time by going down the aisle.
I have an opinion on this. So we only see 2 weddings this week. Granted, weddings are my least favorite part of this show, but, like, the reaction to the weddings I live for. So we only end up seeing 2 weddings because 3 different couples quit before.
That's the most ever, I feel like.
I know. part of me thinks you have to walk down the aisle. You have to, because we've sat through all of this. Otherwise, right. It's just a dating show. But the other part of me is like,
I want the drama of that no at the altar.
Exactly. But the other part of me is like, wow, Jimmy, that was respectful to at least do this before she walks down the aisle. Obviously.
I agree.
But her saying, somebody, I don't know who I was listening to, but they said one thing about her, and I was like, that's exactly it. That when they get into an argument, and she says, okay, he says, you know, these are some things that, you know, upset me. And she's like, well, you do it too. Everything is, she can't say, and you did it.
Yeah.
Can't ever take like responsibility or even to say like, you know, I don't really see that. But, you know, if you see that, then I want to think about it more, whatever. But to be like, uh-huh, you do it. Do you remember what you did? I'm like, girl, calm down.
No. And she's probably like also like a one-upper because she at least, I don't know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they
are done, thankfully.
Done.
Thankfully.
Thankfully. Can't wait to see them at the reunion because that's going to be a mess. Mandy, Clay and AD, going into this, what did you think was going to happen?
I absolutely thought they were going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be really happy for them, actually, because I don't know. Yeah. I honestly think they would be a beautiful couple. I don't know. I don't really have anything against them. I kind of feel like they are a very even match with each other in many ways. And I feel like they have things to work out, but so does every young couple that gets married, you know, like whatever. Anyway, I thought I was rooting for them. I thought they were going to be great. I thought AD literally looked absolutely stunning in her dress. I was like, that dress was meant for her. And
truly,
she looked so, so beautiful. I could not believe like seeing her all done up on the wedding day, like everything came together. Her mom was so sweet. There were so many scenes that we got to see, you know, with her mom and her family and friends. And like all of them were so emotional. Even I was ready to tear up. Like I was so happy for her in her little moment. And then Melissa, I had my heart broken.
I know. Okay, so when it happened, I was like, of course this was always going to be how it happened. But leading up to it, I thought it was going to be yes. I really did. But as soon as it happened, AD's gorgeous, beautiful, exuding just magic at the altar. And Clay lets her say, I do, after also gassing her up before that and saying how great she is and wonderful and I'm so glad I met you and you're everything.
You look
and
then beautiful, he all of that. Yes.
I would be livid about that. Then he says, like, peace out. I want to be with you, but I will not marry you. I'm not ready for marriage. Why did you come on this show?
Yeah, you know, I have, like, opinions about that. And, like, of course, okay, I don't know. I kind of am a fan of Clay. I like Clay because I truly do feel like he's trying to do the right thing and to not rush into anything. And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm like, I understand that that's the point of the show. But also, like, these are human beings. I don't blame him for going on being like, you know what? Actually, I don't know if I can go through with marrying someone after 2 weeks.
Agree.
Like, so I feel like good for him that he didn't go through with it with that kind of like doubt and reservation.
Right.
Like, I definitely truly do think that these people that go on the show should not get married unless they are both 100%. Like, I feel like it's cool as a show concept, but like in reality, after you leave the show, like you're married to this person. So like, I don't know. I can't really blame him. I think, like you said, when the Jimmy and Chelsea thing, it was really like respectful and respectable that he gave her like a heads up and didn't drag her down, you know, and to go through all that. I was a little upset that if, especially if Clay's thing was like, I would like to continue a relationship after this.
Right.
Why didn't he tell her that beforehand? Like, that's not something you spring on someone at the altar. Like, she should have had, she was shocked that he didn't say yes. Like, she did not see it coming. And I just think that's really messed up, especially if you do want to continue and you do care about that person and they're like, the way they're going to take that. And, you know, like, I just felt like that's where he messed up, was he should have given her a little bit of a warning that that was going to be the case and, you know, not caught her off guard, because good luck getting her. And I mean, I don't know what's happened with
him
since
then. How do you trust somebody after that? Like, and what if you go on to get married later? I'd be like, absolutely not. You say I do first. I will not be doing this again. And I'm not going to wear such a nice dress.
I know.
But what was good, I thought, was watching Clay's dad and mom talk.
Me
too. That was like the best part of the whole thing. Is
I know.
Just like kind of the brutal honesty about, you know, the dad having these affairs and how much it did affect Clay.
I loved his mom.
Me too.
Like, honestly, the way she handled that whole thing, I just love how she straight up was like, I'm not married to you anymore, but like, you know what? Like, I found all this out, and like,
yeah,
like, you owe your son an explanation about like all of that, you know? Like, I just thought she handled it really well, and I hope that Clay can work out like some of his internal struggles. Like, honestly, I think he's a great guy. I think he's going to be a really good like family man once he believes that for himself.
Right. No, I agree. I was not the biggest fan of his beginning, but I like, you could see that there was growth, and the fact again that he was like, I will go to counseling or whatever, like to see that you have an issue in that way. And then to say, I'm going to make these steps or to make those steps is great. Do I think if I was on that show, I would look at the other person and say, listen, if you're going to say no tomorrow, let me know. We will both say no. You know, like, let's do that. Please don't blindside me, because I think that's the worst. Also why I watched the show, because guess what? Johnny and Amy are next. And guess what? Neither of us finished it, because we know.
I did see the part where they said yes. They both said yes. Well, yeah. I was telling Melissa, I was in and out of the living room walking around doing chores around my house. So I kind of caught the end of their ceremony, and I saw the people cheering and everybody, woo, yeah. And they were kissing and happy. So
there we go.
Yeah. I mean, we love them. It sounds like we don't like them, right? It sounds like we're not cheering for them, but we truly are. I love them. But it's just like, I called it from day one. I was like, they're going to get married. They're going to be fine. They're going to make it.
You always have that one couple, which I actually thought was going to be Brittany and Kenneth. That's who I thought the couple was going to be. Yeah. I know. So, but you do need that one couple that you can cheer for and like feel confident going into it. But we should have known when the AG and Clay were shown first that somebody was going to say no, because
they always give you that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we've definitely gone through that. next, if the reunion's any good, I guess we could recap it next week. But we can see how the Lacheys do. Oh, I have another podcast, Criminality, and this Friday we're re-releasing an episode about Nick Lachey. If you did not know that he was involved in a crime, now is a great time to listen to it, because he's kind of a jerk.
Wow. Did I know about this?
I don't think you do.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to listen to it.
Oh, no, I'm nervous.
I'm going to listen to it on the plane when I'm
sitting. No, don't. Because then you'll have to. Please don't. No.
I'm going to like I'm going to like tap my neighbor and be like, this podcast, that's her. I know her.
Absolutely don't. Forget I said anything, everybody. It's canceled. Goodbye.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Same time, same place, new story.
Have a great week.
Bye.